Brother Ron Halpin.
Father Freeman, brethren moderators, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm delighted to stand before you to affirm again tonight, chart one, the proposition. Scriptures teach that two people joined by God in marriage are bound for life, the only exception being that an innocent partner may put away a mate guilty of fornication and remarry. This simply reflects and echoes the passages that we have in the New Testament. I'm affirming that proposition based on those passages, and he is, of course, denying it. Now, let me notice the questions. He asked, if a husband divorces his wife for any cause other than fornication and commits adultery, can she remarry scripturally? There are no loopholes in God's law for a waiting game, Brother Freeman. Number two, when a husband obtains a civil divorce from his wife or any cause other than fornication, are the two still married in God's sight? Yes. See Mark 6, 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11. Three, is God less merciful now than he was under the law of Moses to those who are put away for any cause other than fornication? The greater mercy is seen now in strengthening the marriage ties under the new law. Deuteronomy 24 was for the hardness of heart. It was not as to mercy. Or if a wife refuses sex with her husband, can she scripturally divorce him when he commits adultery? No. Five, does God demand that the innocent suffer because of the sins of the guilty? Indeed, Christ suffered because of our sins. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Now, noticing my questions, which passages speak of marrying another? And I put that in quotation marks, as you'll notice. And notice the chart one on the questions. And I want us to all slow down and open our Bibles. We're going to look at Romans 7, 2 and 3. I want you to see what's in the Bible. And my opponent, in answering this, which passages speak of marrying another? And I put it in quotation marks, as I did in every place where I was referring to the scripture that I was asking about. And I said, which ones speak of marrying another? I didn't say which one would you like to interpret and drag something into. I said, which one speaks of marrying another? He said, all of them. Well, let's see. Now, Romans 7, 2 and 3, about the woman that hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, long as she liveth. Verse 3 said, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man. See that in your Bible? You can put your finger on the passage, just like you do Mark 16, 16 on baptism. Now, Matthew 19 and 9, let's see if it speaks of marrying another. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another. It does speak of it, doesn't it? Now let's read 1 Corinthians 7, 15. My opponent says all of these passages speak of marrying another. Got your Bible out? Let's see. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. I must have missed it, Brother Freeman. It's not in my Bible. What translation are you using? Jehovah Witness translation? They stick in a lot of things. Is that what you've got? Mine doesn't speak of it. I said the first night this debate would start and end, and he would never find the key thing he must find in this passage where it said, marry another. Chart 54. Remember our study and our discussion on how do we know? Simplicity and power of truth. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. What saith the Scripture? Read and understand. We know we can remarry if our mate dies. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us so, and it speaks of marrying another. If you put away your mate for fornication, the Bible speaks of marrying another. Now, where does the Bible authorize these to remarry? The put away fornicator, has he yet produced the passage for that one to marry another? Where the Bible says it, just as plain as it does up here, and those unscripturally divorced and deserted, as 1 Corinthians 7:15, where did it say marry another? Oh my, he wishes world without end that he had not said that passage and speaks of marrying another, because he knows it's not there. And then number two, I ask, when did the call to peace occur in 1 Corinthians 7:15? He said, when the believer obeyed the gospel. That's right. And he said, furthermore, they're not only called into it, but remain in it. Now look at chart 151. He answered that well. He answered that right. 151. He understands that the latter part of that, God had called us to peace, is a state in which they had been since they were baptized. But friend, remember the parallelism. That states it in a positive way. This states it in a negative way. That in the same time frame, circumstance, and situation, they've not been bound and are not now. Called into peace and are now abiding in it. He said, remains and abides. That's right. That's right. And it involves both expressions. It began when they were converted. From that time on, they had not been under bondage. Just like verse 23. And then number 3, since you say 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2 gives every unmarried woman a right to marry, can the unmarried woman of verse 11 marry another? Well, he didn't answer that. No, he didn't answer that. I want him to come back and deal with that. He talked about it, but he never said yes or no. If he did, I missed it. If I missed it, I apologize. Please tell us about that. Now, if reconciliation is impossible in 1 Corinthians 7, 11, must this woman then remain unmarried? Well, he said, no, not if there's adultery, or if they die. Was Paul talking about in case there's adultery or death? Let's look again, 1 Corinthians 7, 10, 11. Under the married I command, yet not I but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Now when the reconciliation mentioned here is not possible, that wasn't because of death or adultery. Paul wasn't talking about that. Must this woman then remain unmarried? The truth is, yes, she must. But that brings his house down on him, and he can't afford to answer that like the Bible reads. They must remain unmarried. Number 5, when Paul told slaves not to be the servants of men, did he mean they were free from their slave relationship? He said, no. See, he can understand that. He can understand that tonight. He said, no, they're not freed from the slave relationship. Now let's look at our charts from 1 Corinthians 7 here for a few moments. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 to 9, 121. Universal provision, conditional enjoyment. He didn't deal with this. Every man have his own wife. Yes, that's a universal provision. And so is this. Jesus tasted death for every man. Now, Brother Freeman, tell us, will that get those in by faith only and pray through and Holy Ghost baptism? Oh, you'd say, no, they've got to meet the conditions as God authorized. And so, when we read, every man have his own wife, it's the same way. Same way. Now, the marriage is authorized. Those never married. The mate is dead. The innocent mate puts away the fornicator. There's no more authority for the put away person to marry another than there is to try to get somebody into the church, into the Lord, and salvation by faith only. Tell us about this. Universal provision, conditional enjoyment. 136. Now here on verses 1 and 2 and verse 9, his physician says, any man burning with passion always has a right to take a wife. And if that's true, then all of these can marry another. The put away fornicator, put away for any other cause, or the one that does that, or the man whose wife is held indefinitely in a foreign country, or wife in life prison, imprisonment, in an asylum, has AIDS, is an invalid. Tell us about it. When he said, better to marry than to burn, did he mean to cover all these cases too? 138. My opponent hangs himself on these passages like Judas went out and hung himself. Because he uses the text out of its context. And so he's like the man that read, Judas went out and hanged himself. And go thou and do likewise, and what thou doest do quickly. You're taking these passages out of the context and assigning a meaning that is in plain contradiction to the context itself. Now then, 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11 that we studied, I want to look at 140 and 141. Brother Freeman says, if he is unmarried, then he has God's permission to marry again. And the Bible says, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried. Brother Freeman insists, if unmarried, marry again in all cases. But the Bible says,
If she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. Now, which will you take?
141.
If a Christian violates, I'm going to try again. 1 Corinthians 7:10 and 11, by divorcing his mate and marrying another. When he repents, Brother Freeman, what must he do? Stay in the new marriage or return to an unmarried state and be reconciled to his first mate like Paul said? And which is it going to be? That's chart 141. I'm pretty sure you lost the number on that one. Remember to call for 141. All right, then 1 Corinthians 7, 12 through 16. In 150, chart 150, he is taking a difficult passage and contradicting a clear and simple one. Jesus said, "Whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." But then, Brother Freeman, "Whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth not commit adultery." Then notice 151. Is not under bondage, but called us to peace. Remember that those circumstances and that situation continues from the time converted. He said, "I realize that's true here about the calling to peace. That wasn't when they were deserted. It was when they were converted. And if he can understand it there, he can understand it up here too." For it's talking about the very same set of circumstances. 152, if he can understand, verses 22 and 23, "not servants of men," refers to a spiritual relationship. "Not under bondage" refers to a spiritual relationship. It's just talking about who will be first. Your mate or the Lord. Who will be first? Your master or the Lord. That's your context. Matters of this kind. God has called us to freedom when we obey the gospel. God has called us to peace when we obey the gospel. See the context? He made a pretense that I was just assuming and assigning a meaning out of thin air. I'm studying the context with you. I'm showing you matters of this kind, as Paul said in verse 15. In the context. And then 154 and 154a. If you address two groups, do you have to contradict yourself? The coach tells the old ones run fast, the new ones run slow. The apostles preach to one that the kingdom is now, and to the other the kingdom is not now. You can have different groups, but you don't have to contradict yourself in what you're telling them. Peter and Paul address separate groups. Peter to the Jews, "You're baptized in order to be saved." But Paul to the Gentiles, "You're saved in order to get baptized later." No, no, that won't work. Contradictory. Now look at the contradiction in Brother Freeman's position. Notice how simple this really is. Yes, I agree that Paul addresses two separate groups there. I realize that. It's in the context. I don't just assume it or pull it out of the air. You read the verses. He tells believers, divorced from believers, not to marry another. And then if they do depart, then what should they do, Brother Freeman? It's not talking about death and adultery. But in case there's no death and adultery, what should they do, Brother Freeman? Then tells believers, divorced by an unbeliever, to marry another. Believers divorced from believers, not marry another. Believers divorced by unbelievers, marry another. And so he gives contradictory information to the two groups. No, my friend, that won't work in the context here. And he talks about the Lord adding a new revelation, 165 and 165a. Yes, the Holy Spirit added new revelation to what Jesus said. Jesus said one man and one woman for life, just one exception. And the Holy Spirit taught in 1 Corinthians 7, better not to marry during the present distress. And the Holy Spirit taught God accepts the marriage of the believer and the unbeliever. And that a believer married to an unbeliever must put Christ first. That's the point in 1 Corinthians 7:15. In regard to that spiritual relationship, put Christ first. Not under bondage, since you became a Christian, to your mate anymore in the spiritual relationship, but under bondage to Christ and abiding in the peace of God all that time. Now, the Holy Spirit did not add a contradiction to what Jesus said. See, when you look at what Jesus said and what 1 Corinthians really says, how perfectly it matches and it meshes, and there's not an inkling of a contradiction in it. See that? And then 165a. If 1 Corinthians 7:15 adds another exception to Matthew 19:9, that would be like Matthew 18:3. "Except you be converted and become as little children," the new revelation later will be, "except you're not converted and do not become as little children." That's not just a new contradiction or a new revelation. It's a contradiction. Or John 3:2, "except God be with him," and later, "except Beelzebub be with him." That's a contradiction. Or like John 3:5, "except a man born of water and the Spirit," and "except faith only." My opponent's handling of 1 Corinthians 7:15 adds a contradiction to the revelation we have.
and it cannot be the scriptural explanation of the passage. Then on 1 Corinthians 7:27, 191, 191a. Am I afraid to discuss 1 Corinthians 7, Brother Friedman? Remember, the context will clarify. He thinks he has a strong point here. He doesn't have a thing if you look at the context. 1 Corinthians 7:27-28. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Virgin Mary, she hath not sinned. Now then, notice. As in 2 Corinthians 9:1, ministering to the saints, them and all, two groups of saints. And here you have concerning virgins. In other words, he's discussing those never married. Men never went married, and women never married. You see. The virgins, the females. The free, the loosed here, the males. Just read the context and see Paul's development step by step. Notice the next chart. I'm trying to get you to study the context. The never married man is loosed from a wife. His female counterpart is a virgin. Paul is giving part and counterpart. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. All right, the counterpart, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Here's the man, here's the woman. If the loosed man there is a divorced man, then the virgin is a divorcee. Get in your context, Brother Freeman. And then notice 205. Now, if he's right, he'd still be wrong. You haven't got 205 there. That's a different one. Remember the chart. If he's right, he's still wrong. If this was referring to the matter of divorce, which is not, but just suppose that we concede that it was, then he's wrong in this way. He's including all divorced people. If divorced, it must be scriptural or God won't accept and approve. If we remarry, it must be scriptural or God won't accept and approve. And you see, my opponent contradicts 1 Corinthians 7:10-11 here again. Paul said in verse 11, if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled. Brother Freeman interprets verse 27 so that it would mean, art thou loosed, divorced from a wife? Seek not a wife, but if you marry, it'll be all right. See him contradicting the two? Every interpretation he's giving of these different passages, and the no use of you saying you don't give an interpretation. Yes, you do. Sure you do. You're giving an explanation of the passage. You're not God. You're not inspired. You're not giving Scripture from inspiration. You're discussing the Scripture just like I am. Trying to study together. But every interpretation, explanation you give, you've got Paul contradicting Jesus and Paul contradicting Paul and context contradicting context. And he contradicts verse 39. The bond is there for life. Now then, I want to notice some things that he talked about during his speech. He said his reference to a Judas was not me. Brother Freeman, you're debating me. Why did you introduce that? Who did you think you were debating? Who's saying these propositions? Who were you talking to? Who were you trying to debate when you said that? If it wasn't addressed to me, what are you doing addressing the other people in this audience? Our agreement says we won't do that. You sign an agreement that we won't do that. Get involved with the audience. I'm ashamed. Things like that is why people go away and say there shouldn't be debates. And I hope you all won't go away and feel that way. I'm sorry that got introduced. Now he said, Brother Halbrook didn't refer to all of his charts the other night. Who was in the affirmative? I'm in the affirmative. You're supposed to be following mine. You followed 5 out of 40. Maybe I should take out an ad in the local newspaper here that Brother Freeman is afraid of debating and meeting and answering charts. But you know, the fact is, I covered almost every one of his charts. I did, Brother Freeman. I went back through my notes today and checked. Then he talked about those that delight to divide. I want to see 3:13. As though I have come to town delighting in trying to make a division. Who is causing division and who split the log, as you said the other night? Those that introduced the Missionary Society split the log. Those that introduced the instrumental music did. Those that introduced premillennialism did.
Those that introduced the Benevolent Society did, but they'll talk about folks like me and you coming to town delighting to split a church. And those that introduced the Herald of Truth drove a wedge, and those that brought the sponsoring church drove a wedge, and those that are bringing this new law on marriage and divorce are driving a wedge in the body of Christ, in addition to driving a wedge into the home life of people so as to bring about increased cases of divorce. The idea of the kingdom law and baptism removes marriages and redefining adultery, and the fornicator can remarry, and this second exception on the matter of desertion, so-called. Now, that's what's driving the wedge, Brother Freeman, the one promoting the perversion of truth. Now, I'm not here to drive a wedge. I'm here to study the Bible. Study the Bible so that we can be united upon the basis of truth. Then, as to commentaries, he said that I should have been giving Scripture. Now, you protested the other night that I didn't even give a commentary reference. And then now he protested when I did give it. I think I know how the Lord felt in Matthew 11, 18 and 19. John came neither eating and drinking, and they say, he hath the devil. Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold a gluttonous man and wine bibber. I don't use a commentary and he chides me. I use one and he chides me. And then chart 150. Talked about that you've got to put all the material together to have all the law. Thing is, Brother Freeman, we can't create a contradiction when we get it all together. And if we do, some of our information is not right. Remember chart 150? He interprets a difficult passage so as to contradict a clear and simple one. Oh, but he said you got to take all the information. Now, is this the way you take all the information, Brother Freeman? Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth not commit adultery. Take all the information. That'd be like, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that does not believe and not baptized shall be saved. We're taking all the information. That's not taking all the information. That's contradicting the text. And then, 152. Now, he wanted to know why does this follow in the comparison here? I said if he can understand, not servants of men refers to spiritual relationship, he can understand not under bondage. Is the same thing matters of this kind, Paul said. God called us to freedom when we obeyed the gospel, called us to peace when we obeyed the gospel. He said, why does this follow? Because of the context. I'm simply studying context with you. Matters of this kind, Paul said, and then he gave another matter of this kind. That's why. Then he said, these aren't parallel, just his assertion. And he said, verse 15 is not physical slavery. I know it. Verse 23 is. Verse 15 is talking about marriage. But in both cases, you can see the point. Now I want us to notice, chart 92, beginning through 96. He said the Bible does not refer to adulterous marriages. Can we speak of an adulterous relationship? Why, he said no marriage is ever referred to in the Bible being an adulterous relationship. Marriage is honorable, but let the whoremongers be defiled and so on. Well, you check the honorable holy marriages. Lamech's polygamy or anyone else that does that. One that puts away his wife without cause and marries another. Is that honorable marriage? And you would protest calling that an adulterous relationship? And he that marries one that is put away from a husband? An incestuous marriage and homosexual marriage? All of that honorable? Is it? Or will these be adulterous relationships? What you're teaching is loosening the restraints of the Word of God. Chart 93. And we'll go 4, 5, and 6 like that. Notice Freeman versus Freeman. He said you can live in adultery, but you can't say adulterous relationship. Well, I challenge these people to find in the Bible where you ever had that. And we heard that again tonight. All right, notice then the next chart. Just look in your dictionary. Adulterous, characterized by adultery. Relationship, two or more taken together as in sexual intercourse. Live, to conduct one's life. Practice, cohabit. Cohabit, live together as husband and wife. My friend, to live in adultery is to be in an adulterous relationship. See it? Just look at the meaning of the words. That's all you got to do. The next one will show again. All right. Can we live in adultery but not in adulterous relationship? Which one is it, Brother Freeman? When you have a married man having sex with a pretty little thing, and a man divorces his wife, not for the cause of fornication, and marries a pretty little thing. And then a man keeps his wife, but marries a pretty little thing, and he's in bigamy. Now, is that living in adultery, but not adulterous relationship? My friend, this is just pure sophistry. Word game. I want to notice chart 108. Chart 108. God versus Satan. This is the matter that we're facing. He talked about God versus Hal Brooke. If you eat, you'll surely die. Oh, Satan said, if you eat, you'll not surely die. Believe and baptize, saved. Believe and not baptize, saved. Now watch it. Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. But Brother Freeman, whoso marrieth her which is put away doth not commit adultery. Will you take God or Satan? Satan is the one putting the knot in there. The knot in there. The knot in there. Now we want you to realize the simplicity of this subject. One and only one grounds to put away your mate and to marry another. And I thank you for your good attention tonight.